Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Break off every lie we believe right now in the name of Jesus. Sons and daughters don't have to be afraid. Sons and daughters don't have to be concerned. We lay down worry at your feet. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. Just lift your voices, sing that out. I trust you. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Father, we pray that we would be a people drawn to your word. We would be known for the supernatural love we have for one another. We lay down every offense right now at your feet. We give up the right to be angry. We forgive as you've forgiven us. We cast aside every offense. Commit to interacting with each other in love, to finding that gold and refining it with you in your presence. We thank you, Father, that you're able to do more than we can ask or imagine. So we ask, Lord, we ask that you would have your way in this place. Every time we come together and every time we're apart, you would have your way. Just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying the phrase kings and priests. And I feel like for many of us, we don't view ourselves that way. But if we did, it would set us free. So right now, Lord, we pray that you would show us who you made us to be, that we would raise the price tag on what we're willing to give ourselves to, that we would carry ourselves the way that you want us to. We lay down anything that would hold us back. We invite your presence to be our guide. Guide right now, that you would determine the steps that we take. In Proverbs it says, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And I feel like many of us are like, how did we end up here? And the Lord's like, sometimes it was your bad decision that got you to this place. But I've always determined your steps. And I can get you right back to where I want you. So if that spoke to you, just humble yourself before the Lord. We admit where we've misstepped, where we've caused ourselves pain, where we've hindered your process. We ask you for forgiveness, Lord. We thank you that you can restore us to the place you've called us to. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I tell you, I was just kind of thinking about, you know, sitting here, and I've really, really noticed things have been really intensified here.
Yes.
Ever since we started this pre-service prayer stuff, like things have just have been good, real good. Just welcome everybody. Everybody who wants to come in and do some pre-service prayer, you're all welcome. Just come on in. 9:30. We usually start that. And I was hoping just a little bit that we may have just worshiped on morning.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to stop. But we're all right. We'll make it through. So I'm going to share a few scriptures. You don't really have to follow too much here in the beginning, but they all have a theme. I just kind of want to talk a little bit about just what the Lord showed me this week. So I'm going to read out of Genesis 17:3-6. It says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and all before God and said to him, 'I establish my covenant with you. You will become a father of many nations. You will no longer be named Abram, because I'm changing your name to Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.'" 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune to the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness, for by his wounds you have been healed."
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 1:11, "In him we also have received an inheritance, a destiny. We were claimed by God as his own, having been predestined, chosen, appointed beforehand according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his will." Colossians 1:13-14 says, "For he has rescued us and has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in the forgiveness of our sins and the cancellation of sin's penalty." And finally, Hebrews 10:14. "For by the one offering he has perfected forever and completely cleansed those who are being sanctified, bringing each believer to spiritual completion and maturity." Anybody catch what the theme? Every scripture was past tense. Have, has done. You know, God says to Abraham that I have made you a father of many nations. In the same sentence, he goes from Abram to Abraham, I will make you, and I have, in that instance. In 1 Peter, by his wounds you have been healed. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, once they got it, once they understood the reason that Jesus did what he did, they lived in that healing as a past tense, already having had it, releasing it everywhere that they went. Same with Ephesians, you know, once they understood that they have this inheritance, they lived knowing that they already have it. Colossians, that, you know, has drawn us to himself. We are already. They live that way. And the Hebrews, you know, he has perfected forever. Already done. We don't have to ask him for it again. Ask him for him to do it again. And there's one more, the final scripture I want to talk about. I'm going to read all of Psalm 22. Just understanding the entire psalm brings me to the end. So you have to understand the beginning, the middle, to understand where I'm going with the end. So I almost preached an Easter message today. But I'm not going to do that. But you ever notice that whenever Jesus spoke, it was a teaching moment? Every word he spoke had purpose behind it. When Jesus was on the cross, Matthew 27:46, he says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This again was a teaching moment. He was referencing Psalm 22. So Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I called out by day, but you did not answer, and by night, but I find no rest nor quiet. But you are holy, O you who are enthroned in the holy place, where the praises of Israel are offered. In you our fathers trusted, leaned on, relied on, and were confident that they trusted and you rescued them. They cried out to you and you were delivered. They trusted in you and were not disappointed or ashamed, but I am treated as a worm, insignificant and powerless, and not a man. I am the scorn of men and despised by the people. All who see me laugh at me and mock me. They insultingly open their lips. They shake their heads, saying, he trusted and committed himself to the Lord. Let him save him. Let him rescue him. Because he delights in him. Yet you are he who pulled me out of the womb. You made me trust when on my mother's breasts I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far away from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many enemies like bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouths against me like a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted by anguish within me. My strength is dried up like a fragment of clay, pottery, and my dry tongue clings to my jaws, and he laid me in the dust of death. For a pack of dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my clothing among them and cast my lots for my garment. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O you, my help, come quickly to my assistance. Rescue my life from the sword, my only life from the paw of the dog, the executioner. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen. You answer me. I will tell of your name to my countrymen in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord with awe-inspired reverence, praise him. All the descendants of Jacob honor him, fear him with submissive wonder. All you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised nor detested the suffering of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him for help, he listened. My praise will be of you and the great assembly. I will pay my vows made in the time of trouble before those who reverently fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who diligently seek him and require him as the greatest need will praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down and worship before you. For the kingship and the kingdom are the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will bow before him. Even he cannot keep his soul alive. Posterity will serve him, and they tell of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done it, and that it is finished. It's a pretty tough scripture. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of suffering. But out of all that comes prophecy and victory. You know, I feel like sometimes King David was a pretty emotional kind of guy. I mean, he really writes some pretty intense things about, you know, what he's feeling at the time. But the thing is, he never took his eyes off of God, no matter what. Everything that he always would write was always keeping his eyes at some point focused on God. At the very end of that verse, it says, "He has done it." And I was listening to a Hebrew Bible podcast that I found, and the guy was talking about that. And the very last, those last words, that he has done it, were the Hebrew words, ki asa, and it simply means he did. So it says that they will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born that he did. And in the Hebrew language, it's almost like there should be an insert here after that, where whatever your need is, whatever you're going through, you put that there, and it says, he had did this. Right? So it's like, he had did what? He had did everything. He has done, he has healed cancer. He has healed diabetes. He has healed knee problems. He has healed. It gives us that hope and understanding that he has already done it. Not that he already done it, but he did it with, you know, when we come to him with a yes and an amen. It's in 2 Corinthians 1:19-20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but has proved to be yes in him, true and faithful, the divine yes, affirming God's promises. For as many as are promises of God in Christ, they are all answered yes. So go through him. So through him we say our amen to the glory of God. That's just good scripture. That's just good stuff right there. That's just good stuff. A few weeks ago, I taught on Matthew 25. 14-30, I'm not going to go through all that, but I talked that about, you know, how if we are faithful in the gifts from God, the gifts that he's given us, that we would be trusted with more. When I was talking about our gifts and multiplying those gifts. You know, and then, like, did you ever really think about why Jesus speaks parables? It's to reveal kingdom principles. The true nature of God. You know, Matthew 13, he says that the kingdom is like this and the kingdom is like that. And, you know, it would just reveal these truths about what the kingdom is. But those principles are in place for us because that's how God is already acting towards us. He loves us the way that he teaches us to love. And this week when I was kind of studying this stuff, I did this role reversal in Matthew 25. And it says that, you know, God wants to be faithful to us in the little things, as well as he wants to be faithful with us in the big things. And it always kind of seems that we're always running to God for him to be faithful in the big. You know, when those big things that we just can't handle. That's when we run to God. But, you know, how can we run to him and let him be faithful in those big things if we can't run to him for the little things?
How can we run to God and let him be faithful to heal cancer if we can't run to God and let him be faithful at a paper cut? How can we let him be faithful in healing diabetes and not be let him be faithful with healing a twisted ankle? You know, how can we run to him for finances for a house if we can't run to him to let him be faithful in the week-to-week stuff? He wants to be faithful in all of these things. You know, and we'll go through hundreds, maybe thousands of little things before a big thing even comes. If we let God be faithful in the little, when those big things come, they don't seem so big. You know, it builds our faith and our trust in him that he says, when he says it is finished, it is done, we believe that it is finished and it is done. And I believe that, you know, because we have so many little things, we have so many little day-to-day things all the time, that not going to him with these little things are just missed opportunities to spend with him, to spending that time with him, sitting at his feet and say, okay, you know, look at this little insignificant thing. I still want you to be a part of it. All that kind of brings me to my point for the day. You know, we go to him when we're in prayer, when we're in worship, and there's three ways that we kind of pray. We can just pray something completely wrong, like something completely contrary to the Word of God. You know, we can pray in hope, which is important, or we can pray in faith. Praying in hope is praying for something in the future. It's looking forward to something. But praying in faith prays for right now. Your hope is important, but if we need a now breakthrough, we need to pray right now. So it's kind of reading into this kind of stuff, and I've been reading this book on healing, and it showed me that in John 11, 38 to 42, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, 38 says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for four days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the other people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. He says that I thank you that you have heard me. We pray these past tense type scriptures. These are God's promises that have already been released. And we say, thank you, Father, that you have heard me and that you always hear me. We pray these past tense scriptures until they become our present tense reality. You know, how many times in the Bible does Jesus say, you are healed according to your faith, or go, this will happen according to your faith? When we pray in faith, we pray what Jesus has already done into our current situation with that expectancy that he has heard and he always will hear, and it manifests right here and now. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You know, this book I'm reading it's taken me a long time to read it. It's not a very long book, but it's so packed full of stuff. And it's just so good. And I want to share a few of the things that the writer, some of the quotes that he has in this book. It says, "Hope is expecting a blessing sometime in the future. Faith is taking now what God offers. We are to believe what God says he has done for us and act on it. The past tenses of God's word mean a settled, sealed, and final decision of his will. In Galatians 3:13, we read, Christ has, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God wants all to appropriate the past tenses of his word regarding his redemption of our souls and bodies from sickness and disease. He wants us to go forth in obedience, acting as if we believed him. God puts a promise in the past tense. He thus authorizes and expects us to do the same. Nothing short of this is appropriating faith." James 5:13 to 15 is, "Anyone among you suffering, he must pray. Is anyone joyful? He is to sing praises to God. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore," not the prayer of hope. "The prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If we need now breakthrough, we pray now faith," right? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. The things that we expect now can be things that we have hoped for. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses." Now faith is what brings these past tense scriptures into our present reality, our present circumstances, our present situations. And it's a title deed that we have it, that what Jesus accomplished on the cross belongs to us as an inheritance that he gives us out of love, not out of what we do. Believing that God has already heard our prayers before the blessing is manifested in the good soil in which the imperishable seed, his word, grows and bears fruit. Believing that God has heard our prayers gets the seed into the ground, and then, and not before, and then it goes to work. There's stories like Abraham and Jonah and Joshua, they all put their victories in past tense before saying it. And it was manifested while they were acting on their faith. And one of the other quotes, he says that the reasons thousands are not getting what they pray for is that they are keeping their blessing in the future tense. This is only hope and not faith, which takes the blessings now. We need to believe that God's faithfulness is true and pray everything he has done in the past tense as though they already belong to us, and then act on them as though they were real. I think acting is sometimes the hardest part. We can believe and believe all we want, but acting on what we believe sometimes is outside of our comfort zones. But that's where the breakthrough will come, is through the acting. Believe you receive and act on it. So if you'd like to stand, I'll pray over us. And then again, we're going to have a little meeting somewhere. feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about needing prayer. So if you do need prayer, please come up. We have lots and lots of people here who love to pray. And we're really believing on some miracles going on right now. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you that no matter how many times we can read your word, we're always just blown away by your goodness. And I feel like a lot of times we go to you as Father. But I also feel like going to you as Dad and going to you as Daddy is also just as important. Father, I just ask you to open our hearts and give us that understanding that those dad and daddy moments are just as important. The time that we get to spend with you, sitting at your feet and just hearing your words, hearing your stories, and feeling that we can't even put into words. So we thank you for those opportunities. We get to come into your presence and just to know you. We praise you and we honor you and we glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping.